Good morning and welcome to our service. We began a prayer to the Lord to seek his blessing upon our worship. Heavenly Father, let us share the joy of the psalmist who said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" May every opportunity offered to worship you in your house find us eager to join in hearing your word, in singing your praises, in lifting up our hearts to you in prayer. May your Holy Spirit so bless the hour of worship in your house that we may be refreshed after the toils and burdens, the sins and failures of daily life. Teach us to come into your presence with a contrite heart, and let us depart with the knowledge that our sins are forgiven. Fill our spirits with the peace which the world cannot give. Amen. We begin our service singing with the hymn 384, "Of the Father's Love Begotten," and please stand at the last stanza. Continuing in page 3, we conduct the service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives power to become the sons of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
We pray. Almighty God, In mercy, you sent your one and only Son to take upon himself our human nature. By his gracious coming, deliver us from the corruption of our sin and transform us into the likeness of his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verses 20 to 25. The Lord makes it very clear. He alone is God and no other. And there's only forgiveness and salvation to be found in him alone. He says, "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory." You are included in all the descendants of Israel, because Scripture says that those who believe in Jesus are the true Israel. You shall be saved. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Glory be to you, O Lord. Paul writes in this section of Colossians of Jesus' second and final return to this earth, a day in which he will be judging all that have ever lived upon the face of this earth. When it talks about dividing the good from the bad, don't think that it's because you are good that you're going to be going to heaven. Goodness is only evidence of faith in Jesus that saves. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is a Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. It is of great comfort to us as Christians that Jesus will be judging us on the last day, and he's going to be judging us on the basis of the gospel and not the law. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Here ends our epistle reading. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please rise. We join in confessing our faith, our Christian faith, and the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. We stand for the reading of the scripture text. Grace and peace be multiplied to you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. Now when the days of our purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of the Christ child, the long-awaited, the long-expected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Are you ready to depart in peace? As this question is asked, some might wonder, to whom is this kind of question being posed? Ordinarily, you might expect this kind of question to be asked of people who are nearing the end of their life. Up in years, days are numbered in this world. Someone who is terminally ill is expecting to die very shortly. Those are the ones that should be asked, are you ready to depart in peace? Whereas this question is not usually asked of young people. After all, they have their whole future in this world ahead of them. Their life's vocation, marriage, raising children, watching the grandchildren grow up, and enjoying those golden retirement years. When we think of the future, how often do we think in terms of our future days in this world? And then when it becomes more apparent that our remaining days are drawing close to an end, well, then we'll start thinking about departing this life and how we'll be able to leave this world. We know from life's experience that death is no respecter of age. Not everybody will live 70, 80, 90 or more years. Oh yes, we live in a day and age where the life expectancy has grown. Still, it's not unusual for young people to die. We know from Scripture that this world could be coming to an end at any time with Jesus' second and final return to this world, and then we'll be departing this life, this world. So it's really not out of line, no matter how old we are, to consider, are we able to depart this world in peace? As Bible readers have reflected on Simeon's declaration of today's text, saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Many have reached a conclusion that Simeon was well up in years and that he was coming to the end of his days. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. Especially when you consider what the Holy Spirit said to Simeon. He said, you will not see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ. Artists picturing Simeon have bought into this idea that Simeon was well up in years. Well, it's certainly possible that Simeon was in the final stages of his life, but we don't have any reference in Scripture that tells us how old he was. What we can say, though, is that Simeon was declaring that God had prepared him to depart this world in peace. Because he had been set free and released from this life in peace. This is a great blessing when anyone can say, I'm ready. I'm ready to leave this world. And I can do so with a peace of mind. As we meditate on this precious, priceless blessing God poured out upon Simeon, we'll be considering how God prepared Simeon through the messianic prophecies and their fulfillment, and through the gift of faith to behold in that little baby Jesus, his Savior. Simeon is one who could be numbered among the Old Testament believers that look forward to with eager anticipation for the birthday of the promised Messiah. He had such an eager anticipation with the coming of the Lord because of the many messianic prophecies that he had read in Scripture. The evangelist Luke points to this concerning Simeon when he writes this about the righteous believer. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation, comfort. This is referring to the promised Christ, the great one who would bring us comfort, just like Isaiah said. The Lord said in Isaiah, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We recognize this prophecy as speaking of John the Baptist coming to prepare the way for Jesus. And his ministry of preparations involved a preaching, a message of repentance and comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins found in the sacrificial lamb, Jesus, who had come to take away the sins of the world. So then when we learn that Simeon regarded the baby Jesus as a consolation of Israel, the one who had come to bring comfort, we can understand why he confidently declared that God had prepared him to depart in peace. For knowing that Jesus was his Savior who had come to conquer the enemies of his soul, Simeon knew that when he had come before the judgment seat of God, his sins, his iniquities would not prevent him from entering heaven. There is, without any question, no greater comfort in all the world to though when we leave this world, we're going straight to heaven because of our Savior. Blessed with a spirit of heart, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fearing any kind of evil. The fears and doubts that creep into our minds as the shadow of death draws near are chased away when we are reminded of Jesus perfectly and completely fulfilling all that was prophesied concerning him as our Savior. Do you know or have you heard how many prophecies of the promised Lord and Christ are found in the Old Testament? Well, I didn't go through and count them, but I've been told that there are 333 prophecies. And when you look at the New Testament scriptures, you see that Jesus fulfilled every single one of those prophecies that serves to further confirm our faith. He's the promised one who is to come. Already in the early days of Jesus' life, the will of God was being accomplished. When Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised according to the Old Testament law. When Jesus was 40 days old as a little one, his parents brought him into the temple And they offered up a sacrifice on his behalf, because that was the law. The firstborn male that opened the womb of the mother was to be redeemed, bought back from the Lord through a sacrifice. Throughout his entire life, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness in our place, so that when we come before the judgment seat of God, we won't be coming there spiritually naked, as with all our sins and iniquities exposed to God, but rather we're going to be coming before the Lord dressed in Christ's robe of righteousness that covered all our flaws and imperfections. We're also comforted in knowing that, being assured that we have this blameless standing before God because of Jesus' all-sufficient sacrifice through the cross, we have peace. But Simeon said to Mary that she would be pierced through with pain and sorrow in her heart as she witnessed her son on the cross, suffering and dying. Although Mary would experience this pain of heart, nevertheless, she and Simeon and all of us have peace of mind, because Jesus' righteous life and perfect death was for everyone. Simeon said that he was prepared to depart this life in peace because of the salvation that God had prepared for all people. Jesus was not only the glory of God's people Israel, in that he was promised to come from them and come to them, but he also was promised to be a light, to bring salvation to the Gentiles. Jesus, who is the light of the world, not only caused his message of universal salvation to be made known in Holy Scripture, but the Lord made it possible for that gospel to be proclaimed far and wide throughout the world in every generation of time that follows, even to this present time. And because of this, the light of God's saving grace has shined in our country, in our cities, in our homes, and in our hearts. This brings us to another very important element of Simeon, and we ourselves being prepared to depart this life in peace, namely receiving the precious gift of faith. To behold in Jesus, that little baby, our Savior. This is no small gift, especially when we learn that a vast multitude of people in the years that followed Simeon rejected Jesus and lost all that Jesus had come to give them. Even the spiritual builders in the Jewish community, they refused to acknowledge Jesus as a cornerstone of their life and their salvation. Many of them did. And fast forward to the scenes of our present world, and we find a similar situation. It has been reported in the news that many who celebrated Christmas at this time of year were not willing, nor did they want others, to say Merry Christmas, but rather to say Happy Holidays. Not only that, but there's been a large push to remove Christianity and Christian symbols from the Christian square. I remember some time ago Grace Rhyme had mentioned that she had seen for many years in her life this huge cross on the hillside. And then she talked about how there were plans to remove it, which would be a sad day. I don't know if they went through with that or not, but that was said they may be doing. In our public school system, we know that they have curriculums where they're teaching a number of different non-Christian religions. whereas Christianity is excluded, and any reference to Christian observances are either frowned upon or forbidden. Now, I'm not standing here before you promoting that we should have religion taught in the public school. I don't think it's their place. But I just wanted to make mention of it because of the hostile spirit that's found in our society against Jesus. Whenever the Lord overcomes the inborn hostile nature of sinful man toward God and His Word and enables him to see through eyes of faith that Jesus is not the enemy, but He's our best friend and our Savior, we thank and praise God for that. Simeon is a marvelous example of this, because when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple and Simeon took the baby up into his arms, he could see that this was his Savior, because he had been given the gift of faith to believe this. Simeon knew by faith that Jesus' redemptive work still to come made it possible for him to be delivered from this veil of tears to go into heaven because of Jesus. Yes, even before Jesus lived, died, and rose again, Simeon believed Jesus would work out his salvation for him. In Simeon's case, some might think, well, he more than anybody else should be expected to believe in this little baby, Jesus, because the Holy Spirit had told him, you're not going to see death until you see the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit had led Simeon into the temple at just that right time when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus there. There's no question that this was a special privilege and blessing that Simeon received from the Spirit of God. Yet, like all other cases, he was brought to faith through God's Word, through the Old Testament prophecies concerning the promised Christ. And so also with us. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So, the Holy Spirit prepared Simeon to behold in Jesus, his Savior, because of the Old Testament scriptures. And so also the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts to see that little baby as our Savior. This is a precious gift to believe. Because as I said before, there are many people who don't share that faith. Blessed with the same gift of faith, we can confidently join Simeon in saying, God has prepared me to depart in peace. May the Holy Spirit continue to preserve that spirit of heart in us until that day our life in this world comes to an end and the Lord comes to take us home to heaven. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of "Let All Together Praise Our God." Please stand for prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that your advent as our Savior was foretold by men of old. We believe that in your lowly birth of the Virgin Mary, the scriptures had been fulfilled, and that you, the very Son of God, through whom all things were created, assumed human form. We believe that you came here in lowliness as the Paschal Lamb of God to bear our sins in your own body on the cross and to suffer and die there for us. Is not this a wonder? That earth played host to her Creator, that you who are eternal were born a tiny baby. Is not this a wonder? That you who are rich with all the fullness of power and majesty as God became poor, that through the poverty of your humiliation, you might make us everlastingly rich. O Jesus, Son of God and Savior of all mankind, who you are and what you did in our behalf fills us with holy awe and wonder and deserves our continual praise. When Simeon held you in his arms, he recognized you with great joy as the long-awaited Savior, the light of the Gentiles, and the glory of Israel. Filled with peace and joy, he was ready to depart this life and heir of heaven, saved by grace through faith. Like Simeon of old, we too rejoice to know you as our Savior from sin. Establish our hearts forever in the truth that your perfect sacrifice has purchased pardon and peace from God for us. Keep us ready at all times to depart this life with joy, confident in the assurance that you have redeemed us with your blood. Send the bright rays of your gospel into the hearts of everywhere, and by the Holy Spirit quicken them with a living faith in you as their personal Savior. Direct also governments of the world so that people everywhere may worship and serve you without fear of persecution. Grant that those who have been brought to faith will remain constant in the faith and obtain everlasting life. Direct our footsteps in this new year by your holy word, and help us by your love to lead lives that conform to your holy will. Help us, O Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and in whose name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the believing with believing heart the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude with the singing of those two stanzas that are found in the bulletin. Good morning. We have a New Year's Day worship service scheduled, which we have opportunity to gather to hear the Lord give us direction for the coming of the new year, and also to seek his blessing in prayer and to praise his holy name. The church officers, please take note that we will be having installation to your office next Sunday. And also, we have additional things that will be taking place on that day. Here is a response from Pastor Moss concerning the call that we issued to him. Dear brothers and sisters of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, with this letter I'm returning your divine call to serve as your pastor. It was not easy to arrive at this decision, but I'm confident that the Lord does not want me to leave my congregations in North Dakota and Minnesota at this time. I shared some specifics with Mark Gullerud and Michael Slattengren of what led me to return the call. Many of those specifics came up just in the last month or so. Along with you, I am trusting that God will work all things together for good, with the emphasis on our everlasting good. May the Lord bless and keep you all, and may he lead a pastor to serve you in the near future. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Pastor Delwyn Moss. And so with this, then, a call meeting has been scheduled for January 5th, and we have some additional names that have been added to the list to consider. Also on that day, which is Epiphany Sunday, and usually the last Sunday that we have the Christmas decorations up, we'll be taking those decorations down next Sunday. There will be a walk through the parsonage today, especially by the council, to kind of assess the situation of what needs to be done. Any others would like to join us to take a look, and if you see something that you think needs to be done, there's going to be a clipboard to write that down. So that will be just right after the service today. Also, I mentioned that there are a couple of Christmas greetings from previous members, the Lillos. There's a picture of their family in the lectern. Also a picture of Pastor Radical and his family, along with a letter. So if you'd like to read through that letter, you may, at your leisure, may do so. And may God in his grace be with you always.